Hello, I'm Tom Moen, and today I'm beginning an old and yet continuing adventure. In 1968, my family and I returned to Tulsa, where I became the general manager of KORU-FM and Oral Roberts, radio announcer. At that time, from 1968 until March of 71, I had a daily program entitled Good Morning, Brother Pilgrim. And now, after 50 years, I'm resurrecting it with a new title, Good Morning, Fellow Pilgrim. And a pilgrim is a person who's on a journey, and in this case, a journey of the kingdom of God on earth as Jesus prayed. So I hope you'll join me as we look into the past, the present, and the future.
This is the Good Morning, Fellow Pilgrim podcast with Tom Moen for January 14th, 2019.
Well, once again, good morning, fellow pilgrims. It's a delight to be with you. And in this new year, as I said in the last podcast, I wanted to go through a couple, two or three chapters of 1 Corinthians, because I somehow think that it relates to our day and time with some simplicity that is just beautiful. In the first chapter, if you'll remember, he talked about the wisdom of this world and not wanting to go back over the whole chapter again, he said, the cleverness of speech and the cross of Christ are made void with the wisdom of this world. There is a wisdom that comes from God, and that's the wisdom that we want to have. And he says that that wisdom is the preaching of Christ and Him crucified. He says the Jews want a bunch of signs and wonders. Boy, does that sound familiar? I know people today that go all over the country hunting for signs and wonders. And I'm not anti-signs and wonders. I've seen almost every miracle of the New Testament in my Christian life. But I'm not going to spend my life hunting for signs and wonders. And then there are others that says, the Jews a stumbling block, but the Jews ask for signs. The Greeks want wisdom. If we can just get more scholarship, more doctorates in Greek and Hebrew and Aramaic, and sometimes I think our use of study and wisdom has been for our own foolish, lost egos rather than for the kingdom of God. So I want to go into the second chapter of 1 Corinthians today because of my deep hunger for the wisdom of God that comes from the kingdom of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of that kingdom, which is the gospel that he brought. I ask for the humility of that first beatitude once again. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is, present tense, the kingdom of God. Now in the second chapter, Paul talks about when he came to them, and I'm going to begin in verse 1. When I came to you, brethren, I did not come with superiority of speech or of wisdom, proclaiming to you the testimony of God. For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. Think of the humiliation, the godly humiliation that had happened to this man. Remember Acts 8 when Paul is ranting and raving against the early Christians and is on his way to put people into prison, and he's struck by Almighty God in the person of Jesus. And in that time, he realizes all of his wisdom and all of his knowledge, where he's exceeded all of his brethren in understanding spiritual things, was worthless. And Jesus Christ had to confront him with that revelation. So Paul has said, I'm not trusting my wisdom in proclaiming it. I am proclaiming the foolishness of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then he says, yet, verse 6, we do speak wisdom among those who are mature, a wisdom, however, not of this age, nor the rulers of this age who are passing away. But we speak wisdom in the mystery the hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our glory. Oh, when I read that, I want to say, Lord, I don't want to read past that so quickly. There is such a wisdom that you want to give to us that makes us mature. But the source of that wisdom doesn't come from this age or the rulers of this age with all their doctoral degrees and knowledge. It's passing away. I want the wisdom that comes from God and his eternity. But it's a mystery. And it comes through the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ and him crucified. So Paul didn't depend upon his great knowledge, human knowledge. He depended upon the foolishness of the gospel of Christ. The wisdom which none of the rulers of this age has understood. For if they'd have understood it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But just as it is written, things which eye has not seen, and ear has not heard, and which have not entered the heart of God, of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. I read that and I go back to that verse that we've talked about before, where Jesus on the cross says, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing. And Barbara and I recall the first time we read that, we said, oh my Lord, do you realize what you're saying? Now, this was in our humanity and in our infancy in Christ, but Lord Jesus, they've been trying to kill you for 3 years. What do you mean, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing? They have deliberately tried to kill you. But he's also saying, if they only knew the reason I came, they wouldn't do what they did. You talk about a wisdom that's outside the wisdom of man. It's pictured there so beautifully on the cross. For to us God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who knows, for who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things freely given to us by God. Brother, sister, pilgrim, I ask the Holy Spirit to just let those words settle deep down into your heart, mind, soul. Do you realize what Paul is telling them? He's saying that there is a wisdom that can come into your spirit that bypasses the world and its wisdom. And the wisdom that comes from God is eternal. And he knows what's in your heart, and he knows you from before the beginning began. The verse goes on to say, which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness to him, and they cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. And he who is spiritual appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no man. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he should instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Wow, we have the mind of Christ. I wanted to read from the 12th chapter of Romans these few verses, beginning in verse 1. 12th chapter of Romans. I urge you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is our spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. For through the grace given to me, I say to every man among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. And just as we have many members in one body, all the members do not have the same function. We're many in Christ. So I'm back now again to the second chapter, and he says, we have the mind of Christ. Brother, sister, do I really understand what I'm saying when I say that I have, me, Tom, has the mind of Christ in me? Then I am seduced oftentimes by the world, the flesh, and the devil, to the mind and the thinking and the wisdom of the world. Where has the wisdom of the world gotten us? I look out upon our political scene, our educational scene, our moral scene. I look around the world at governments coming and going, and the evil that seems to be on every page of every newspaper around the world and on television and radio. If it wasn't for the grace of God and the kingdom of God and the gospel of the kingdom of Jesus Christ, I would find myself absolutely without hope in this world. But God has given us a whole other area, arena of hope, and that hope comes from the Holy Spirit. That's why I go back to, again, John 3. Out of another realm, we must be born anew to see the kingdom, and then by grace and grace alone, we enter the kingdom. We enter the wisdom and the kingdom of God. Remember when Peter, when answering the question of Jesus, when he asked, who do people say I am? And they said, well, you're one of the great prophets who's come alive again, or you're John the Baptist. And Peter says, no, you're the Christ. And Jesus says, Peter, upon that revelation, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not stand against it, and I will give the keys of the kingdom to those who have that revelation. And the church is built upon that revelation. And yet over the past, often when I read church history, I just lament over and over the same things happening to the church that happened to the Israelites in the Old Testament, and their story of they just would get faithful and then they'd blow it all again. It seems like the church has done it again and again and again. There are so many denominations today that people who don't know God look at and say, why should I even concern myself? Well, what we've got to do is return with the Apostle Paul to the foolishness of the gospel of Jesus Christ and Him crucified, and trust that the Holy Spirit from another realm will work in the spirits of people who are called into the kingdom of God. This is what we are called to do and be as Christians in this day and age. I wanted to read just a little more into the third chapter of 2 Corinthians, because after talking about having all of this wisdom that comes from God that we have in our hearts and minds, Paul then says something that is so sad, but it's so much a part of today's church. Verse 1 of chapter 3, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual men, but as to men of flesh, as to babes in Christ. I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, for you are not ready to receive it. Indeed, even now you're not yet able, for you're still fleshly. For since there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not fleshly? And are you not walking like mere men?" And remember what he had said in that first chapter? He says it again. One of you says, "I'm of Paul," and another, "I'm of Apollos." Are you not mere men? What's Apollos and what's Paul? Servants through whom you believed, even as the Lord gave opportunity to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but it was God who causes the growth. So then neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but God who causes the growth. You see, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the preaching of the cross of Jesus Christ and Him crucified, and in the crucifixion, His death, His burial, His resurrection, His ascension, and His pouring out of the Holy Spirit, and their teaching for 40 days in the book of Acts after his resurrection on the kingdom of God, the rule and the reign of God on earth through his people. The church is relative, but the kingdom is eternal. Oh God, I pray for a revelation for the church that it will turn from self-preservation to preaching again the gospel of the kingdom, not the gospel of the church. Oh Lord Jesus, I pray that, and I believe that you're coming to do so, that the gospel of the kingdom be preached again. He who plants and he who waters are one, but each will receive its own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers, and you are God's field, God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me, as a wise master builder, I laid a foundation, and another's building upon it. But let each man be careful how he builds upon it. For no man can lay a foundation other than that which has been laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man builds upon the foundation with gold, silver, and precious stones, wood, hay, or straw, each man's work will become evident, for the day will show it, because it is to be revealed with fire, and the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. If any man's work which he has built upon it remains, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work is burned up, he shall suffer loss, yet he himself shall be saved, yet as through fire. The whole point here is that there are gospels that the church over the centuries has laid that are wood, hay, and straw, and they just burn up. They're contemporary theological little dreams that come out of some man's mind rather than the wisdom of God and the well that's there through the Holy Spirit in the believer's life. He says that gold, silver, and precious stones can go through the fire, but wood, hay, and straw, they're burned up. And so much of what we've been involved in this day and age has been wood, hay, and stubble. I've been around this thing for 50 plus years, and I've seen oftentimes myself and others at times majoring in minors. And it's almost like I hear the Spirit of God calling, "Have you forgotten the keys to the kingdom that I've given you? Preaching Christ and Him crucified, His resurrection, His ascension, His pouring out of the Spirit, His giving the keys to the kingdom to the church, that the church could be involved in bringing the kingdom of God on earth, the unchangeable kingdom and the unchanging person and the unshakable kingdom." My prayer is for you, brother and sister, that you and I will be laid hold of by the Spirit of God to once again receive the wisdom of God, which is the kingdom of God on earth, as Jesus taught us to pray. Let us end today with that simple little prayer, but let it find its root deep within us. "Your Father already knows what you need before you ask," said Jesus, so pray like this: "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen and amen. Let your kingdom come. Amen."
This podcast is available for free download in iTunes and at moanministriesbookstore.com. Sarah Rahm's album, Days of Rain, is available on iTunes and most streaming platforms.